All right. Just so that you know who I am, I'm part of God's kingdom, and I'm a princess in his house, and so are you, by the way. So it's not just me that gets to carry a crown. You, each and every one of you, if you know Jesus, if you've submitted your life to him, then you too are wearing a crown, even though you might not feel it or might not see it. But I like to just put it on so that you can all see. It probably will come off at some stage. The next thing I want to do is I want to take a photo. Yeah, because I like to tell people where I've been, and I like to show them that there were ladies there as well. You know, it's not just in Belita that there are ladies, even here on the bluff. And then the last thing I want to do is I just want to honor Diane Sardi. So she and I started class one together here at Bushland School many, 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 many years ago. And then at one stage, we were best friends. And I heard all about eschatology from her, all of, I don't know, probably 12 or 13 years old. And so if my eschatology is a bit skewed, it's because she taught me wrong. But I just want to encourage you, because it tells me that even your young children, do not despise what they learn at children's church, what they learn at youth, because they too can change a person's life. Now, it doesn't mean I gave my heart to the Lord just then, but the groundwork was already done. So, Diane, I want to just give you honor, and I just want to say thank you for what you implanted into my life. So, thank you. Okay. So, today I want to talk about being from bondage to breakthrough. You're all with me on that? Okay, so I don't mind if you chat back to me. I'm quite happy with that. And I want to start off with a dawn. I just feel that God is saying to you tonight, well done, because I see in you, I know that you have a thing about sunflowers, and I know you certainly have a thing about armor. But I really feel like that there has been a kneeling down, and there has been a laying down of your life for the people that I see in this room and others. I know there are many, many more that you have cried out to God for, that you have been prepared to fight for and not give up on. And I really feel like as you have hung in there and you've held on, I feel like God is saying, well done, because if you look behind you, you will see a whole army, especially of women, but I know of men as well. But you have laid yourself down, and you are leading people into their future, into their preferred future. And I really just want to encourage you, because just as you have laid yourself down, I feel like today God is wanting to say right now, darling, it's time for a milkshake. Just relax, just enjoy, and see what more I have for you. I feel like you've labored long and hard in this vineyard, but there are other vineyards that need to get something of the fight that you have, of the investment that you give into people's lives. So I really feel like God is going to start opening doors of opportunity for you. I know we work together in some areas, but I feel like that there are going to be more areas. So be prepared and be expectant for what God wants to do. Is that all right? Okay, so right now I'm going to start preaching. Okay, you're with me still? All right, okay. So I want to just say thank you to this church for opening the door for me. You know, when you get invited back, it's quite an honor, because, you know, the first time they can handle you, but the second time it's like, oh my goodness, do we really want that lady back? So for me, it's really a privilege. And I want to just talk a little bit. I want to just mention the name Harriet Tubman. Anyone heard of her? She was a lady in the 1800s. She was a black slave, a Negro slave, I don't know, whatever the Americans called slaves in those days. She was a mere commodity to be used and abused by the people who owned her. And you might say the story could end there, but Harriet had a dream. And girls, that's what you and I need to have. I want to encourage you, if you've not got a dream, tonight is the night for you to start dreaming the bigger dream. It's not just about the bluff. It's not just about your little road that you live in or wherever you are. There's so much more that God has for you. And Harriet had this dream to be free. In fact, many slaves dreamt to be free. But the difference was that Harriet took her faith and her courage, and she went through toil, she went through danger, she went through challenges, and she finally walked into Philadelphia, over 100 kilometers away, and into freedom. I want to tell you something. That was not something that just happened overnight. It was a dangerous aspect for her to go out and get away from her slave masters. And like many throughout history, Harriet did not give up until she walked free. Are you living with some kind of bondage tonight? I want to tell you right now, God's plan is for each and every one of us to be free. Not just to, oh, well, now I can live within this boundary. I can live in this place. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to lift you to lift your eyes up. See that God has got so much more for you. You're not here in just little old Durban. You know, there is a world out there. Now, I'm not saying you have to leave the bluff. I'm not saying that. But maybe some of your dreams have been so small and so insignificant, and God is calling you to stand up and stand out and look beyond and see that your redemption draws near. Not to hold back and hold on to the smallness of where you might be. So the United States eventually abolished slavery in 1865. And you and I might say, well, there we go. Now we can live happily ever after. But I want to tell you right now that in this day and age, there is more slavery in this world than at any other time in history. Did you know that? Ah, yeah. Over 50 million people worldwide are affected by slavery. It might be childhood marriages. It might be childhood labor. It might be, let's see, what else have I got written here? Forced marriage, forced labor, sex workers. Not all sex workers have jumped into that job like, yoo-hoo, this is what I want to do all my life. I want to be a sex worker. Some people have been dragged in against their will. Just to bring it a bit closer to home, in 1 3-day swoop in Cape Town International Airport, over 60 people were saved or rescued from human trafficking violations. And don't think, oh, I just got that off the Chappie's bubblegum paper. I spoke to the lady who, that's her job. She goes to the airport, and that's her job, is to try and identify and get people out of that place. Amazing. In Cape Town, Nochal. Everyone thinks Cape Town is so perfect. Well, I'm sure it's happening in Durban and Johannesburg and Blikkiesdorp. It's not just something out there. It's closer to home. And slavery can affect everyone through mental and emotional abuse, through our guilt and shame from our own deeds or from our past, even lies we've believed about ourselves that have bound us to the enemy like a spider's web. Many of us as women have not really believed what we can do. We've never been given the chance to see beyond ourselves. I had the privilege of having a father who was quite happy for us to, as women, because we were three girls, to dream big. He was quite comfortable with having three daughters, although he always called us his sons, but that's what we were. But the trouble is, not everybody has grown up in that place. Many women have grown up where they are second-class citizens to their family. The son is the main person, and the daughter is like yesterday. She's the one that stays in the kitchen. She's the one that, you know, does all the dirty work. But the son is the big, you know, he's the big white chief, so to speak. So I want to encourage you that God has got a plan for you and I, no matter where we sit. Maybe you felt chained to a problem or to a lifestyle. Maybe you've been chained to an addiction or to yesterday's troubles or even yesterday's triumph. Maybe you had a great yesterday and today is like down the hill. Maybe you've even felt enslaved in a situation like Harriet was. You see, she could have remained a slave all her life and just thought, oh, I'd love to be out there. I'd love to be having a better time and never do anything about it. But she stepped out in faith. Faith is our weapon, girls. Stir ourselves up in that faith. Step out onto the water, so to speak. It's the most incredible thing. I've had to step out in faith a few times, and I want to tell you it's never, ever easy. And it doesn't get easier and easier every time I do it. Every time I have to step out in faith, it's another thing to go through. Do not think, oh, well, you know, she's a leader of the church. She should be jumping out in faith every day. Well, actually, it's not so easy, hey? There is a challenge, and every time it's a difficult one. But we've got to do it, girls. Look around you. Look around you. Each one of you have got something to add value to in your own life, to those around you, into the church, and out into the world. Isn't that amazing? So God always wants to take us from bondage to breakthrough. And Harriet had to want freedom in order to get it. She didn't just kind of wake up one day and the boss comes along and says, oh, you know, clip, 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 I'm cutting your chains off. She had to want it. She had to push through her fear. I mean, she could have been killed. She could have been drowned. She could have been shot, whatever it was. But she chose to push through. And we are able to see the result even today. And the thing is that in the Bible, you might be thinking, oh, well, that's just Harriet, you know. How does that affect me? Well, actually, in the Bible, there was another lady that had a similar situation. Her name is unknown, but she had a bondage of rejection. And maybe that's your problem today. Maybe you're dealing with rejection. Maybe right from when you were born, maybe you don't know who your parents were. Maybe you were left on the side of the road, or maybe you were in the family, but they didn't seem to ever see you. Maybe you were invisible to them. Mark 5, verse 25 to 26 says this. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. The New Living Translation says constant bleeding. I know what that's like because I had that when I was 14. And let me tell you, it's a highly embarrassing thing to get up and there's just red everywhere. 12 years she'd been suffering. Being segregated when she was unclean. For 12 years she suffered. Hey, I'm sorry this isn't a happy. We're going to get there. Okay, are you with me? Are you still there, right in the back row? Okay, can you handle a little bit more? Right. No blood transfusions, ruled by her infirmities. Probably no chance of marriage. I mean, what guy would want her? Come on, let's be real here. Fearful of accidents happening in public. Anyone been there? Oh, gosh, I can still remember getting up off the bus and, oh, my goodness, what a shock. Anyway, we won't go down that route. Leviticus 15:19-21 says this in the New King James. When a woman has a discharge and the discharge in her body is blood, she shall be in her menstrual impurity for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. Now, listen to this, girls. And everything on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean. Everything on which she sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. Doesn't matter what she did, no one could get anywhere close to her. No one could sit, stand, be in too much of a close proximity to her. But this Bible says that she had this issue for 12 years. This was life. I don't know how she didn't die from lack of blood, to be perfectly honest. But anyway, even her family had to keep away from her during the... They're going off to McDonald's for a hamburger. No, sorry, you've got to stay behind. We can't have you with us. We get in the car, then who's going to sit where she sat? And no, sorry, so you're just going to have to stay at home, darling. Stop and think about that. And maybe you've felt like this woman, totally ostracized at times. Maybe you're in it at the moment. It could be a physical ailment or it could be an emotional ailment. You ought to be powering on, but you feel bound. You've never felt part of the gang. You know, you've always been the one that's been outside, separated. Maybe that's you tonight, trying to keep your uncomfortable secret. Girls, so many of us are hiding stuff. Now, I'm not saying you have to stand up here and tell everybody your story, you know, in Technicolor. But there are many times where we are so fearful of somebody finding out what we have got up to or what's been done to us that we just can't make decent relationships. Words have pulled you down or broken you or imprisoned you or sidelined you. Perhaps you've tried to speak to someone, but they don't understand. Or maybe you've been linked to someone else who did all the wrong stuff. And you're living, you're lumped with them. And what do you do? It's your son who's gone crazy and, everyone in the district knows about him, et cetera, and you feel the guilt. What did I do wrong? Maybe your uncleanness is bitterness. Now we're going to start getting a bit closer to the bone, or unforgiveness, or even hatred. I don't know what you grew up with. I don't know where you come from. But I know, because I've been around the block a few times, I know that most of us have things we have to deal with. You cover it up, you feel clean for a while, then something happens and you contaminate it again. Tragic. Even the story, it's like an interruption. Jesus is on his way to the guy who's in charge of the synagogue. He's called Jesus, "Quickly come, my daughter's on her deathbed." And Jesus is making his way to his daughter's bedside. Sorry, girls, I must talk to you a bit more. Yeah. He's on his way, and this mere woman with a blood issue suddenly gets in the way. Now, you've got to recognize, in this day and age where Jesus lived, women did not have the kind of life that they get to have here today. Does that make sense? You're happy with that? Except, of course, when Jesus was around, Jesus gave... we need to be thankful. We need to be so thankful that we are Christians, because this is the one relationship where we are totally accepted in Christ. We are totally on the same standing as any men. And we're not competing against them. We compliment them. We understand that. But we are given position. We are given airtime, so to speak. Okay. All right. So Jesus was on his way to raise this nearly dead girl. And this woman gets in the way. It's a perfect opportunity for her to be rejected. She could so easily have been refused, sent away, reviled or removed. But she says, if only I can touch Jesus. That's an aspect. That's an attitude of faith. It's a step of faith for that girl. Friends, she should not have been where she was. She had blood then and there. She should have been ostracized. Imagine if the people knew that were around her, that did touch her, and they were immediately unclean because they had touched her. They didn't realize it. Just stop and think about that. What would have happened if people realized her condition? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the riot that would have happened? So are you dealing with rejection? Have you had to hide stuff because you may be hated? Or maybe you're hiding your toxic relationship, girls. You know, the bruises that you give the excuses about. You know, oh, I walked into a door. You know, anything. Makeup, foundation, the whole caboodle. We don't know. Possibly you carry the guilt of your broken past. What you did or what someone did to you. The scars or the bruises that still hurt. You know, it's said that the power of sin is its secrecy. It's important that we recognize that. If you are having to hide something, I want to tell you right now, I want to submit to you that there's probably sin involved. Maybe it's not your sin. Maybe it's somebody else's sin, but sin nonetheless. And you say, but nobody will understand, so you keep it hidden. Possibly you were the one who used your words against someone. You know, I'm the victim here. But maybe you were the one that did the work. Maybe you said things, and you know you said things, and it's broken someone else. And now you feel, well, you live with the guilt of that, or maybe the shame. You know, shame is when you are the problem. Guilt is when you feel like you did something wrong. Kerry Salvey said this, the past can rob you of your future. Don't let the past, good, bad, or ugly, rob you of your future in Christ. Painful memories keep us bound and chained to the past. I could have, I should have, and I didn't. You know those kind of things. Has fear kept you in bondage? Look around you. We're all ladies here. Well, except those kind of would-be ladies that are at the back there trying to look after our sound and everything. I've been very nice to them. Yeah, thank you very much, guys, and the cappuccino guys. We've got to keep them happy as well. But right now it's about us. God wants to work in our lives. So there is hope. Say to the person next to you, there is hope. Don't let fear hold you in bondage. Corrie Ten Boom said this, no matter how deep your pit, God's love is deeper still. Isn't that amazing? Woo! That's right, that's right. So, okay, so number one, this woman suffered for 12 years. Yeesh! No matter your situation, Jesus is well able to set you free and heal you today. You might have been suffering for 12, 10, 2 minutes. God can set you free today. I love that song, I Was Buried Beneath My Shame. Have you heard that? And then I ran out of that grave. And that's what we want to see happening. Number two, she tried everything. I love the fact that she had suffered under the physicians. I mean, that's an oxymoron. It shouldn't happen like that. The doctors are there to fix us, not to make us suffer. But she had suffered. It speaks about dealing with situations or relationships that were meant to help, not harm. What relationships have we endured that were meant for good, but actually harm resulted? Maybe your parents, maybe your teacher, maybe that doctor too, or your husbands, or your church leaders. Yeah, many of us have been through churches, had to deal with hurts. Friends, she'd suffered financially, girls. Never enough money in your purse. She had to spend it all on doctors. The story could have ended there, but the Word of God, my son always says, paints pictures for us to hope in. Isn't that wonderful? He paints this picture that gives us a hope. It gives us a future. Look around you. There is more to come. I could have said when my husband passed away suddenly, 2022, it was not in the plan, but it happened. And I could have said, well, okay, now I'm going to just sit back and now, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. But he had set me up for success. He had always opened the door for me. And since then, I have ministered all over the place. I go here, I go there. I give our pastor a bit of a hard time. No, we have a great relationship, and he also blows wind in my sails, but I also blow wind in his, and everyone else that I come across, because that's the part of what we have to do. So what seemed to be such an awful situation when it was, let me tell you, it has turned where I think to myself often, sure, he must be so happy with what's happened. Even though he's not here, he's happy. He's having his dance up in heaven. So what can I say? Anyway, she made a choice, this lady. Like Harriet had to, she made this choice. In Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14, it says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." It's actually a choice to leave the past behind. It's our choice. We have that authority, girls. We are not a victim. I want to say to yourself, I'm not a victim. We are not a victim. This woman's identity could have been in her infirmity. You've met those people. How are you? Oh, well, you know, I'm still male. And it's a real issue. And you feel for them, but you eventually want to say to them, look forward. God's got more for you. She could have blamed God. She had nothing more to lose. And she made a choice as Jesus passed by. She chose to forget what lay behind her, and she strained forward. She activated her faith. And you're saying, oh, but God doesn't care. God doesn't see me. Let me tell you, if you start having a little conversation with God, that's what I do. I've found so many times just when I'm thinking, oh, well, now what? Which it does happen, let me tell you. And then all of a sudden, suddenly there's a ping and the bank balance is showing that somebody's put some money into my account. Let me tell you, I appreciate that. Or suddenly somebody phones and said, would you like to come and minister? Yes. I want to tell you, I don't know, that might not be your issue. Maybe you've got different issues. But speak to the Lord. He's listening and he hears, the Bible tells us. Do not think he's just, it's a brass ceiling. He hears us. So Mark 5, 27 to 29, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak. Okay, we can go home. Now listen to what it says. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. immediately. I want to tell you that's what my faith is for tonight, is that no matter what the situation is, immediately there is a breakthrough. That's what God does. He anoints us for such times as this. Our faith is for the immediate. Our faith is for the immediate. Is the baggage of your past preventing you from walking through the door into your preferred future? She could have said, what's the use? She unchained her heart from yesterday's problems. And one of the most important chain breakers is forgiveness. Forgive God. Some of you are holding unforgiveness towards God. Forgive yourself. Why did I do what I did? And also, of course, forgiving others. Now, it doesn't mean that you condone the issue. It's never about that. It just means you're untangling yourself from being tied to that person. Does that make sense to you? Untie yourself. And the only way you can do it is through forgiveness. Am I shouting? Okay, you understand. I'm not cross. My husband used to say to me, you look cross. I'd have to. Oh my. Don't let unforgiveness hold you in bondage. Philip Yancey says this, forgiveness breaks the cycle of blame and loosens the stronghold of guilt. God wants to loose you tonight. He works in us because he also wants to work through us. Girls, you might be sitting there saying, oh, but you know, I don't know what this is all about. I don't have any issues. If you don't have any issues, yes. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. But maybe you're going to have to minister to someone down the road. Maybe you're going to find somebody who's your next door neighbor or the person you sit next to in church next week. And you're going to have to speak to that person. And I want you to know that you can be able to say to them, I know that God can set people free. That's part of what the anointing does. It sets us free. It binds up the brokenhearted. It declares the year of the Lord's favor. Whew. Right. Shoo. Get excited. Once Harriet was free, she went back many times to help others. And she ended up helping over 70 other slaves to freedom. In fact, a whole lot more because she helped with some... a war. She helped in a war and got more people. Yeah, she led a battalion and they were able to save a whole lot more slaves. Some slaves, however, were too fearful to reach out for freedom. They wanted it, but they just couldn't get there. So I've got to ask this question. Are you holding on to the prison door that Jesus has already opened? Maybe the best times are behind you. You'd rather be in yesterday. You know, yesterday all my troubles seemed too far away. You know that one? Yeah, you'd rather be there. You were the belle of the ball. You were Miss South Africa. You had a husband. Now you've got nothing. Psalm 118 says this. Doesn't matter what our situation, this is what it says. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. And the New King James says, he set me in a broad place. I love the fact that God wants me to live in a spacious place. He does not want me to live in Schnoop Street. He wants me to be in a nice, wide open space. No, wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. All right, so you know, I can kind of think in the songs. Okay. All right, you still with me? Okay. All right. And you might be the one that's saying, but my life is pretty normal. I don't have any major issues. Well, this is still for you because God doesn't want to leave you. He never leaves us where we are. Did you know that? You are never in a place where this is where I am. I've got the white picket fence and I've got the little dog and the cat and the this and the rat and the mat. He never leaves us in that place. He always is opening the door to you and I for the more. He always wants to take us into the superabundant, supernatural, more of his place of, sorry, I'm getting my life. Superabundant, supernatural, technicolor life. That's what I like. I get excited about that. You know, I'm not going to live in a small place. Sorry for you, I'm not. I refuse to, because God has said that I have all authority, all authority, all authority. I live in that place. So do you, if you will take it. Galatians 5 says we are called to be free, but we use our freedom to serve one another. That's what the purpose is for. It's for me to be able to serve you and then also to go and serve people out there. When you go to the supermarket, when you go to the shops, whatever it is, wherever you go, when you go to one of those family vergaderings, you know, where you're all going to get together, you are the blessing. You carry the anointing to set the captive free, to bind up the brokenhearted. Ah, he has exceedingly abundantly more for each one of us. Oh, I get so excited. 2 Corinthians 3 says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Spirit of the Lord. And that transformation is metamorphosis. It means I start off like the worm and I end up as a beautiful butterfly. Hey, I like that. That's getting profit for nothing, man. That's getting profit for nothing. That's what my God does. We're transforming. She had to do her bit, and Jesus did his bit. And Mark 5:30 says, and once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, he turned in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Isn't that amazing? Jesus felt power leave him. The amazing thing is when you and I pray for people, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can feel when they receive from us. We can feel the power going out. This is not just something that we give lip service to, girls. This is real. This is power. God of the universe invests himself into us so that we carry something of his glory to others. Now, it doesn't mean we're glorious. Look at us. We're just normal people, but we have a supernatural, normal God inside of us, and he uses us to reach out and touch and bring love and life and encouragement to one another, to set people free. Did you bring baggage today? Have you brought baggage? I want to tell you right now, God wants to set you free today. He wants to bring you into freedom. He wants to take you into preferred future. He's got more for you. And Jesus says to her, he says, your faith has made you well. I love that. I love that. She had no knowledge that by stretching out she would get healed. But she just was so desperate. She said, I need something to happen here. Lord, I've heard about you. I'm going to do everything I can. Squash, get through the crowd. Touch. Squash. Something happened. And God's calling you and I to break through today. Start with trusting Jesus through your salvation. Forgive. Clean your plate. Get rid of all that stuff that's holding you back. Step out in faith. Trust God to break those chains of bondage, sickness, brokenness, poverty. For some, they've become strongholds, holding on to you. And some of you don't even realize you've been kept bonded. That's a tragedy, as you got so used to living in the box. But you know what? God, Jesus, paid everything so that you and I could walk free. He paid the full price of redemption. Are you ready for that breakthrough tonight? And at the end, we're going to give you a little gift to just indicate that freedom that you have. Some of you take it intellectually, but you haven't recognized it in your hearts. Some of you have said, hey, listen, I know, I've received, I know, and you're living in that spacious place. But tonight, I'd like to ask, just a bit of time left, if there's anyone here, if you are living and you recognize something of what's being said tonight, and you know you, that's for you. Is there anyone here? We're a bunch of girls. You might be the Harriet. You have to break through. You might be the lady sitting in your couch thinking you've got everything together, but in actual fact, God's got an absolute treasure trove out there waiting for you. There is more, but you've got so used to being in the smaller place. If that's you, won't you stand? I'd love to pray with you. And if you've got any kind of anything, I don't care if it's an addiction to jolly marijuana or to heroin, God can set you free tonight. God can set you free no matter who you are, because that's his game. If you are sitting with a life-threatening disease even, if you're dealing with something like a big C called cancer, I want to tell you that even that, God can heal you, even now in Jesus' name. Not me, I can't do it, except I know that I'm tapping into Jesus. And I've got to trust him because I know he can do it. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, yes, but you know, I don't really have a future. Yesterday was the better time. I want to say God's got more for you now. I'm having more fun. I'm turning 70 at the end of the year. I'm younger than my friend Diane, let the record show. But I want to tell you, I've had more fun in my latter years than I ever did in my early years. I want to tell you, God's got, oh yeah, I can see you dancing on the table, girl. God's got stuff for us. So if that is you, you know what? I don't know what your problem is. And don't look around at the people next to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They've got their own demons they've got to fight with. They've got their own things they've got to deal with. Have you got the boldness to say, I'm stretching out to Jesus? Do you mind if I pray for people tonight? Okay, so I'm not going to call you up front because it's a big group, but I'm trusting that God has your number. Thank goodness he knows us by name. Okay, I know you're standing. Well done for being so patient. I'm going to just pray and then we'll carry on. I'll hand over to Dawn. So, Father, I want to thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, here I am. Here's all these people. Lord, each one with an individual issue. I don't know any of them, what their problems are, what their situations are, but I do know this. God, you are the great healer. You are the great deliverer. You are the one that brings us out of darkness and puts us into light. You're the one that takes us from death to life. You're the one that sets us free, that binds up our broken hearts. You're the one that comes and delivers and brings us into a new place and declares the year of your favor, the year of your favor. And he gives us that beauty for ashes. the oil of joy. And even you go on to say you rebuild the ancient ruins. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's got ancient ruins in their lives, they thought they can never rebuild, I want to say thank you now, Holy Spirit. Come and touch. Come, Holy Spirit, come and touch. Come and touch. Come and touch every single person in the name of Jesus that needs your touch tonight. Lord, come in your power and do the work in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you glory. And Lord, we give you honor. And Lord, we give you all authority to carry on in this work that, Lord, we will not finish. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah, give yourself a hand, girls. Well done. Well done. You may sit down. But I'd like to leave you with the last thing. Those of you that stood up, may I ask you a big favor? Maybe you felt God touch you. Maybe you are trusting for even more. Whatever it is, I want to say to you, why don't you please tell somebody? Don't leave it like this and go home and then you go shloop back into the old ways. Tonight is a time of changing. Tonight is a breakthrough moment. It's a watershed moment in your life as well as in mine. We are all on this journey, girls. None of us have finished. None of us. And tomorrow I might be the one that's on the receiving end. Amen. You happy? You're still my friends? Okay. Thank you so much for having me.